Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Anyway, Russia keeps boasting that it's taking the Ukrainian city of Bakhmut, which is in the Donetsk district. And of course, last September, Russia staged these rigged referenda in the illegally occupied districts of Ukraine. It claimed that Bakhmut voted for unification with Russia by 90-something percent. And said that they've integrated district. Sorry, Bakhmut's in Donetsk district. That Donetsk has been incorporated into the Russian Federation. But even then, Russia only controls about half of Donetsk district and doesn't control Donetsk city itself. So they've been inching forward, and it's not just they said we've taken some settlements just north and south of the village, but some of the Western media sources confirm yes, actually they have gained significant ground. One of the big debates is that last road linking Bakhmut to the rest of Ukraine, is that still open or not? Now, the Russians claim to have taken it, but of course they lie about everything, so they may well be lying about that one. The Ukrainians say, no, it's open. We're getting troops in and out and munitions in and out. Taking the road doesn't make that much of a difference because vehicles can go off-road anyway. But what does taken mean? Are actually Russian troops on the road blocking the Ukrainians from getting in or out? Or is it within artillery range or something so that trucks going up and down are vulnerable to being hit by artillery? Obviously, it's easier to go on the road. It's faster. Off-road vehicles, even they find it easier on the road. And if you go off-road, you know, the ground is uneven. There could be big rocks. There could be trees which are too close together that the vehicles can't get through. There can be streams and such like. So even if there is an off-road route, it's usually more difficult and slower. But it looks like Bakhmut is going to fall. It's a matter of time. It might be later this month. It might not be for a couple of months. But does Bakhmut matter? A lot of people say, well, it doesn't really. It's got a symbolic value. This is really a psychological issue because Russia's been attacking that city for 8 months. And how ignominious it is not to have taken it after so, so long. And this was the focus of the spring offensive. I couldn't believe it. I was expecting something more. But it just shows how limited Russia's military capacity is. They're using up shells so fast, they find it difficult to supply enough. The Ukrainians are said to be firing 7,000 a day. That may be dwindling because they're just not getting sufficient supplies from Western countries. Western countries have to increase supply. As we discovered those US Defense Department leaks, the South Koreans are loath to provide any shells to Ukraine, lest this be provocative towards Russia. Russia being a neighbor of North Korea and an ally of North Korea. But then the Russians would incite the North Koreans to attack the South in some way. I mean, not a full-scale war. So, and Wagner Group seems to have actually got a more amicable cooperation with the Russian armed forces. Because remember, Wagner is actually not officially part of the Russian armed forces. It's a private military company owned by Yevgeny Prigozhin, a man who lied and lied and lied for years, disclaiming any connection whatsoever with Wagner before last year, proudly boasting, yeah, he is the Wagner Supremo. It looks like the Bakhmut will fall, but as I say, it's of negligible significance, I mean, strategically speaking. But will Russia be exhausted? Will Russia be able to go forward? On the other hand, that will free up troops that they can attack in other sectors. Where are they going to attack? Ukraine preparing its spring counteroffensive, but apparently the Russians have built quite formidable defenses further east, so that'd be quite difficult. And everybody said the other thing to do is a quick strike down towards the Sea of Azov near Mariupol, probably not to enter the city of Mariupol itself. Remember, Russia's strategy initially was to bypass cities, just go through the countryside. Cities are very difficult. You'd be fighting house to house and room to room. You don't know where the enemy they're in. They're in a tower block. Are they in the basement? Are they in the top floor or what? It negates Russia's advantages of firepower and maneuverability and things like that. And also hugging tactics, enemies being so close to each other, the Russians can't use their own artillery or airstrikes or whatever because it might kill their own men. If the enemy's only, say, 50 meters away, then this Russian shell or whatever missile, yeah, it would kill the Ukrainians, but it would also kill the Russians because they're just so close. It sometimes happens in urban fighting. So that's why people say that's what Ukraine will probably do. But of course, there's a lot of disinformation out there. They're not going to let the cat out of the bag and tell us exactly what the plan is. Others say that Ukraine's had to adapt its plan for attacking Russia, attacking the Russian occupation forces in Ukraine, because some of it might have been leaked with the Defense Department leaks. There's another question. Was that on purpose? that they want to mislead us. But then there's some U.S. Massachusetts, is it National Guard Air Force man, has been charged in relation to it. Well, could he just be a scapegoat? Well, I think it unlikely, but there is that possibility that some of it or all of it was even leaked by the United States and or the Ukraine to mislead. I don't subscribe to that theory myself. Obviously, I can't completely discount it. And the advantage of going down to the Sea of Azov, you would cut off the land bridge from Russia all the way across towards the Dnieper River, you know, just to the east of Kherson, which is the westernmost point that the Russian forces reached. It would somewhat isolate Crimea. The Ukrainians really like to take back Crimea. That's a very tall order. The isthmus is very narrow there, therefore it's very defensible. But Russia would have a hard time supplying Crimea. Obviously, there is that bridge which could be destroyed. It's a pity the Ukrainians haven't been given sufficient missiles to take it out. Russia would then have to supply it by ship, although those ships could be sunk. The Navy is very close to Putin's heart, partly because his father was in the Soviet Navy. So he doesn't want to see his Black Sea fleet sent to Davy Jones's bottom. Davy Jones's locker sent to the bottom, and might withdraw them from the Sea of Azov to one to safer havens, a harbour like Novorossiysk or Sochi, also on the Black Sea. So they say that isolating Crimea is a more realistic goal than fighting way in there. It's quite heavily defended. Their airfields could be taken out. Supplying Crimea by air for Russia, that'd be a real headache. A lot of their transport planes could be shot down. Their airfields could be targeted and the runways and hangars destroyed. Obviously, planes are very expensive. So I think the Ukraine offensive is going to come, but like not until well into May. You know, there were pledged as actually more than 82 tanks, which I initially thought was over 100 tanks, not all of which still arrived. The Abrams tanks are not going to arrive till September at the earliest. So Ukraine is not going to have the kit for a huge offensive. They've taken quite significant casualties in Bakhmut. And this is possibly the disadvantage of defending it so long, is that they don't have the strength that they should have to be attacking in other areas. Obviously, they've had tens of thousands of troops trained in Western countries by, say, Norwegian, Swedish, New Zealand and British instructors, Spanish instructors in Poland and stuff like that, and coming back to Ukraine. That they will have more manpower to launch this offensive and better kit than ever before. But I think the Bakhmut phase is probably going to end early next month, and the Ukrainians might say, well, discretion is a better part of valor. We fought gallantly here. We delayed the Russians by months. We inflicted tens of thousands of casualties, and then we suffered a fraction of that ourselves. And now's the right time to withdraw. There is no disgrace in that. Now, no doubt, Russia will try and hail it as the most epoch-making victory since Stalingrad or something like that. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Please subscribe and donate on PayPal. Goodbye.